Hey, listeners, a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast is now the Not Crazy Podcast. Same feed, different name. Hosted by Gabe Howard and Jackie Zimmerman. Search for Not Crazy or visit us at psychcentral.com/notcrazy. In the meantime, enjoy this legacy episode of BSP, and we hope you'll check out the new Not Crazy Podcast.
For reasons that utterly escape everyone involved, you're listening to a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast. Here are your hosts, Gabe Howard and Michelle Hammer.
Hello, and welcome to a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast. I'm Michelle. I'm schizophrenic.
My name is Gabe, and I am bipolar.
Right, Gabe. And today we are talking about paranoia.
Wait, why do you say it like that? Like it's you're saying like paranoia, but you're using like the paranormal voice.
Yes.
Do you have the two confused? Do you think that like being paranoid is the same as having ghosts like take over your body?
Oh my God, it must be. What if you're a paranoid ghost?
Then you'd be a paranoid paranormal.
A paranoid paranormal. Oh my God. Maybe they just, are there support groups for ghosts who are paranoid?
There's no such thing as ghosts.
What?
Yeah.
You just blew my mind. Okay. Gabe, you ever been paranoid?
I'm paranoid constantly. I consider myself to be in recovery, but I'm paranoid all the time. But I'm much more interested in hearing from the paranoid schizophrenic.
Oh, is that me?
I mean, otherwise we've been lying to listeners for like multiple episodes.
Yes, I am the paranoid schizophrenic. Let's think. When did my paranoia even start? I feel like I've been paranoid my entire life, really. I can start off by saying I remember the first time I was not paranoid and I realized how paranoid I had been for so long.
Explain this to me. You were paranoid and then you got treatment, so then you weren't paranoid and that felt wrong to you?
All through high school, all through the beginning of college, I was always had this idea after every time I spoke, it was, did I say the right thing? Did I sound stupid? Every time I left a room full of people, I would always think, what do they think about me? Are they talking about me right now? Are they saying that I sound stupid? Are they thinking that I'm dumb? Should I have left the room? Did I leave the room too soon? What happens next? But always thinking, like almost narcissistically, that everyone is talking about me all the time and everything they're saying about me is something negative. So I never knew what to say in front of who. So sometimes I would just stay very quiet, or maybe I would just think somebody hated me when they really didn't hate me at all, and I would just make a whole thing up in my head. But I remember when I got one doctor in college, he prescribed me a pill. And I didn't know what this pill was, I didn't know what it was going to do, but I decided to try it. And all of the sudden, I didn't care about what I was saying. I didn't care about what people thought of me. My mind was just quiet. I was relaxed. And I was like, oh my goodness, I think this is what it's like to not be paranoid. I feel so good. I feel good about myself. I think I could read a book right now. I think I could take a nap right now. This is the most amazing feeling I've ever had. I've never had such not a busy mind, and I've never had a mind where I didn't think that somebody somewhere was saying something bad about me.
So it was like clarity. Like you had clarity.
Yes. I remember I read a chapter of a book. Like I have never been able to read books without thoughts racing through my mind that something bad was happening somewhere about me, or I can't do this, or horrible thoughts are just going through my head, and be able to actually comprehend a book.
What book was it?
I don't remember.
Really? You read a whole chapter, the first book that you've ever been able to read,
no,
you forgot.
Well, no, like Chuck Palahniuk.
Chuck Palahniuk?
Whatever it was. I don't know.
Wow.
I read a chapter, but it was just different because I was so used to trying to read and not being able to comprehend anything. But this book, I remember I read a chapter and then I did something I haven't been able to do in years. I took a nap.
You sleep all the time.
Not before then.
So before being diagnosed and before getting treatment, you couldn't sleep because you were afraid that in your sleep you would be hurt?
I just could not sleep because my mind was so busy all the time, always panicking, always scared of something, always energized, always running around all over the place, could never calm down, could never sit still. And then I was just, I took this pill and I was like, I think I can read. I think I can take a nap. And it was just the most mind-boggling thing ever.
How do you know this was the paranoia going away and not just the other symptoms of schizophrenia being treated?
I knew that it was paranoia going away because I wasn't worried anymore about what people thought of me. I didn't think that my roommate was saying horrible things about me. I didn't care if this person hated me. I didn't care if that person hated me. I was just going to live my life and I was going to be happy and I was confident in things that I was saying because I didn't feel judgment anymore. I wasn't a constant judgment, not by other people, but more like by a voice in my head almost saying, what you just said was so stupid. You're so dumb. That was gone. The paranoia was gone. It was just gone. And it was amazing.
Wow. Is it still gone?
Yeah, it pretty much is gone unless I just go off my meds, then it'll come back.
Well, but you're not going to go off your meds.
Right.
Okay, but one of the reasons that you don't go off of your meds, I mean, one of the many, many, many reasons that you don't go off your meds is because you don't want to think that your mom's trying to kill you or that your roommate's trying to kill you or that your co-host is trying to kill you or that you're just on and on and on and on and on. Like, you don't have this fear that people are running around trying to kill you.
Exactly.
You realize that you, a schizophrenic, are ahead of half the country right now who think that people from other countries are trying to come here and kill them.
If that's what you want to say, then Gabe, yeah, sure.
Hey, there's like constant debates going on about this constantly. Like people are afraid of the unknown and people are worried about this, but that's not paranoia then. That's just like, or is it? I'm being serious here. I'm not trying to make a political point, so get that out of your head.
Like people who are afraid of, like, the zombie apocalypse?
No, the zombie apocalypse can't happen because zombies aren't real. But there are people who are really, really worried that other countries are going to attack America or that other cultures are going to impede upon their culture. Like, this is a real fear politically, and we as an American culture are constantly arguing this.
I think that's more of a society thing. The paranoia I'm talking about was paranoia for myself and in my own head. I wasn't thinking about paranoia of society. I was just thinking about paranoia of myself, thinking that I was the most horrible person ever because everything I said was so stupid and everybody hated me until I realized I was making all of that up and it was all in my head and none of that was true. Like, people might not have liked me, but if they didn't, I didn't care anymore because I didn't hate myself anymore because there was nobody in my head telling me that everything I said was so dumb.
When it comes to paranoia and talk about being paranoid, there's a couple of quotes that always stand out in my mind. One of them is, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that people aren't out to get you. What do you think about that? As somebody who is diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, what do you think of that quote?
Like, that somebody might be out to get me?
No, that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that they're not out to get you. As you know, you were paranoid that your mother was trying to kill you. This was completely untrue. Right? Your mother was not trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you were paranoid that your roommate was trying to kill you. Completely untrue.
Right.
Because that was just a delusion. It was,
yes.
It was part of your illness.
Right.
But imagine if your roommate was trying to kill you. You'd still have paranoid schizophrenia, right? You'd still be paranoid.
I suppose. Yeah. But I knew that she wasn't trying to kill me. And that's when I realized I was paranoid.
But just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that they're not out to get you.
That's exactly how I felt in ninth grade.
That everybody hated you?
That everybody hated me. And my teacher made the joke, I'm not paranoid, just everybody hates me.
That's so unreasonable. Like, why would everybody hate your English teacher?
No, he was just making a joke.
Oh.
Of like what a student would say. So when he said that, I was like, wait a minute. Am I paranoid that everybody hates me? Or does everybody actually hate me? But in ninth grade, I heard it. I thought, am I paranoid? No. Everybody does hate me.
It just didn't click yet.
It didn't click. But thinking back to that now, how did that not like click in my head in ninth grade that I was paranoid.
Yeah, yeah. Hindsight is always 20/20.
4 years later, 4 years later for me to realize, oh my God, I am the paranoid one. It was me the whole time.
We'll be right back after we hear from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. Secure, convenient, and affordable online counseling. All counselors are licensed, accredited professionals. Anything you share is confidential. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist whenever you feel it's needed. A month of online therapy often costs less than a single traditional face-to-face session. Go to BetterHelp.com/PsychCentral and experience 7 days of free therapy to see if online counseling is right for you. BetterHelp.com/PsychCentral.
And we're back talking about paranoia.
But I still want to touch on, you're not paranoid anymore. Like, it went away for you.
I stopped caring what other people thought of me.
But like, how? Michelle, there is nobody listening to this show that doesn't want to know the answer to that question. How do you stop caring about what other people think?
I just became confident.
But how? These are all things that you became. These are all final destinations. We want to hear that. We need the directions. We don't want to hear that you went to McDonald's. We want to know how you got there. Like, what streets did you turn on? Give us the GPS coordinates so that we can get to McDonald's too.
I went to college. I made great friends. I joined the lacrosse team. I became an amazing lacrosse player. I made all conference. I became captain. Then I worked in some jobs. What brought down my confidence was losing jobs, but from all those jobs, I gained a lot of experience. I started my own business. I designed websites very well. My graphic design became even better. I have a successful business. We have this amazing podcast. I'm very happy with my life.
But how? How? Listen.
Because what I see in my life as accomplishments make me feel better about myself. I see myself, I've made accomplishments, and I've become confident because of it. I know that I could be way more successful. To some people, I'm not successful at all. But for me, in my life, what I've been given throughout my life, right now, what I'm doing, I feel confident in who I am. And if somebody, I've learned, you know, in my life, you love me or you hate me. If you hate me, I don't care. Don't talk to me. If you like me, then talk to me.
But you know? Some of us, and by some of us, I mean me, and I would venture to guess many of our listeners, that's not good enough. We dwell on the people who hate us.
I dwell on the people who hate me, too. I do dwell, but you know what? If I'm dwelling, I try to talk to people who I know who are my friends. I dwell on past situations. I lost many, many jobs where I dwell on what I did wrong or a coworker that got me in trouble or this with HR. And those things come into my head, and it just makes me angry. It makes me angry that those things happened. But I'm so happy that I got through those situations to get me to where I am now, where I feel fully confident in my situations. And I think if I work hard enough, I can do what I need to do.
So you're content with your life.
Yes.
How? Like, how? I'm not content with my life. And listen, I'm not saying this to be a jerk, but my house is bigger and I drive a nicer car and I have more money and my clothes were not made by me. In fairness, you are a very talented clothing designer, and that was just kind of a joke. But I just, you know, listen, none of this stuff has led to this contentment that you
what
have.
What do I need to do to be successful? What means success?
I don't know. What define success? Is so that our next shirt idea?
I don't understand. When can I be fully confident? Because who? Like a movie star? What the movies? There's been movies. Marilyn Monroe killed herself, yet everybody loved her and said how beautiful she was. Was she not confident enough?
Marilyn Monroe suffered from depression. She abused drugs and alcohol. And there's even more to the story that we don't know because, you know, she's a celebrity and not like a person that we were able to talk to. But I think that maybe you don't understand what I'm asking. I understand that you're saying that you're looking objectively at your facts. And Michelle, your facts are amazing. You are an amazing person. And a lot of people should aspire to be as amazing as you are. I'm not trying to take that away from you. I'm just saying that there are a lot of people that have achieved amazing things. They've graduated college. They've met wonderful people. They have wonderful friends. They're in stable relationships. They have good jobs. And they're still depressed. They're still paranoid. They're still unhappy. What did you do that even though you have all of these negatives, you're not concentrating on them? You are instead concentrating on your positives. Because I'm sorry, in the middle of the night, it doesn't really matter what I've achieved. All I can focus on is everything that I have ever fucked up always. And I can't get that thought out of my head.
I know a pill you can take at nighttime that'll knock you out. You won't think of any of that. I have to say, it probably is also due to the fact that I take 7 medications daily.
It's the combination of medication, therapy, introspection, and radical acceptance.
Oh, definitely.
As you said, you know that other people are more successful than you, and you've even acknowledged that you can be more successful, but you're content now because you choose to be content. And there probably isn't a way that you can teach the rest of us to be content, except to maybe just be confident in our own abilities and give ourselves permission to be happy.
Yeah. I once had a conversation with somebody where it just kind of came up that I've taken a lot of criticism in my life, like a lot of criticism. So if people try to say things to me, you might disagree, but I can just take the criticism from a lot of people and it doesn't bother me that much. I played sports my whole life where your coach just tells you all the time what you're doing wrong all the time, always. Like, but you learn and you get better at sports and sometimes it pays off. You become all conference and you become captain. There you go.
And then you win. And you win the title.
You win. But sometimes you lose. You can work the hardest you've ever worked ever, and you can think you're the greatest lacrosse player you've ever been, but you can still lose the game. But you know, you tried your best. Even though you lost, you might be crying later, but you can say that you tried your best.
And you can try again.
Well, not really. I mean, if the Suniaka tournament is over, you're out of it. If you lose the tournament.
That was just an analogy for life. You can try again tomorrow at life.
Dust yourself off and try again.
Listen, I think that one of the coolest things that I ever heard somebody say is you can work really, really hard and you can do all of the right things and maybe you will win the Super Bowl. And that's amazing. But the season's going to start over. And last year's Super Bowl champion is this year's nobody because the whole thing starts over. Life isn't that clean. Life doesn't have seasons as far as the same way that like sports do. But every day that you wake up is a day to start over. Listen, I know that you're not as tough as you project. I know that you're schizophrenic NYC. You're the badass New Yorker. You have called me up upset at the emails that people have sent you. You get discouraged by failures that you've had. You get really defensive when I tell you that you could be a better public speaker and that you need to practice. I know that you have self-esteem issues the same way that everybody else does. But what's amazing about you is that you can put all of that aside and you can pat yourself on the back for the things that you've accomplished. And I can't always do that. And I do admire that in you. I wish that I could spend more time complimenting myself. I wish that I could spend equal amounts of time complimenting myself as I do criticizing myself. Because I basically just criticize myself 98% of the time. And about 2% of the time, I'm like, hey, I did a good job.
That's great then. You know what makes me feel good? When I get an order. Woo!
An order of what?
If I'm depressed or whatever, you never know. My phone bings that I got an order on my website. I'm ecstatic. Somebody went to my website and bought one of my items.
So you're saying that right now, if somebody goes to GabeHoward.com and buys my new book, Mental Illness is an Asshole, that will make me happy?
Well, I'm just saying that's something that makes me happy. I think it should make you happy, would it not?
No, it would, and it's a great book. And I hope that people do check it out, but I don't want people to think that this is a shameless plug. I'm just saying that there is more to life than people buying our swag.
Oh, yeah.
I want people to appreciate the work that we do.
But you have to appreciate the little things in life. If you're just waiting for something big to happen, you're going to wait forever. Appreciate every little thing, and then you become confident.
Do you think that that really is maybe some of the problems that like people like us have? We've sort of bought into the pop culture idea of success where it's like, you know, in a movie always starts off like with a problem. That's how the movie starts. And then the problem turns into like a goal. And then the goal turns into like things that you have to accomplish along the way. And that's what makes the plot move forward. You gain a little success, you have a setback, and then you gain a little more success, and you gain a little more success. And then the climax of the movie is like this amazing thing that you did. It's like, and it's really big and grandiose and spectacular and awesome. And there's music and fireworks and everybody's hugging and it's wonderful. And then the movie ends right there. And that's not real life. In real life, success is like really small. It's like a pat on the back. It's like, hey, congratulations. That was really cool. And then people move on. And then you wake up the next day and you have to kind of start over. Is that the problem? Have we all been taken in by cinema?
Could be.
Do you think?
I mean, did you think Sacagawea was ever expecting to be on a dollar coin?
Well, that's fair. I think a lot of the, you know, that's a good point, actually. I think a lot of people that we look up to as success, most of their success and admiration came years after they died. After their life was over and people looked back and really thought, wow, those were amazing accomplishments.
Like the people on Mount Rushmore, did they ever think their faces were going to be carved into a giant stone rock wall?
A giant stone rock wall.
You
mean a mountain? Are you trying to say mountain?
I'm trying
Michelle?
To say mountain. You know what I'm saying? Who thought that their face was going to be carved into a mountain?
So what you're saying is those presidents were stoned. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this episode of Bipolar, a Schizophrenic, and a Podcast. Head over to store.psychcentral.com, buy our Define Normal shirt. When they're gone, unless, of course, we print more. Please leave us a review on, where do they leave reviews, Michelle?
iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes and Google Play and Spotify and Stitcher, and you can leave them on Facebook. Leave a comment. Just show us lots of love. We would really, really appreciate it. Gabe needs confidence. Confidence in the form of comments. You can email us at show@psychcentral.com. Tell us nice things, especially how Gabe is better than Michelle. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Paranoia!
You've been listening to a Bipolar, a Schizophrenic, and a Podcast. If you love this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Head over to iTunes or your preferred podcast app to subscribe, rate, and review. To work with Gabe, go to GabeHoward.com. To work with Michelle, go to Schizophrenic.nyc. For free mental health resources and online support groups, head over to PsychCentral.com. The show's official website is PsychCentral.com/BSP. You can email us at show@PsychCentral.com. Thank you for listening and share widely.
Always do this accent. Don't do the accent. Just your regular voice.
Paranoia.
Pretend.
Paranoia.
Pretend. Stop.
That's how I would yell it, Gabe.
No,
I don't understand.
That's not how you would yell.
As it was.
You yell shit at me all the time.
I don't yell.